morning again. I am so excited to be here today. Andrew called me a week or so ago and asked me if I could come and fill in for him today, and I heartily agreed, and so I say thank you for allowing me to be here today. My wife is not here. She's heard me preach enough, but they had a children's Sunday at where we are attending church, and our grandson is part of that, and she was not going to miss that as a nanny. She's not going to miss him, so she sends her apologies for not being here this morning, but I know she's having a great time where she's at. We do have some, I got to confess a sin. Confession is good for the heart, and so I need to confess to you that I don't always act like I ought to act. And I come home from work Friday, and I was tired, and we were going to go out and eat, but I got in a little late, and so I ran in and told Lisa, I said, I'm going to go get freshened up. You go out and get the car, start the car, and I'll be right on out. And so I ran in and freshened up a little bit and went back out, and there's the car running, and Lisa's standing beside the car with the doors locked. And I lost it. I lost my temper. And I started screaming at her. I said, I cannot believe you would do something this. You know we got to go and you do something this dumb. How can you be so stupid to lock the keys in the car? And I just don't understand it. I don't understand how you could do that. How could you be so beautiful and so stupid at the same time? She told me she could explain that. She told me that God made her beautiful so I would love her. And He made her stupid so she would love me. That's the way it goes. But I hope I do a fairly well job here this morning. In my first appointment, I had two little twin boys. And they were about 5 years old. And one Sunday as I finished up and I was doing the benediction, as everybody was leaving, one of the little twins, Blaine, came up and he said, "Man, you're the worst preacher we ever had here." "Oh, thank you." And his brother Parker came by and he said, "Yeah, preacher," said, "you can't preach worth nothing." So I'm like, man, their mom overheard this, and so Paige came by and she said, "Tommy, don't listen to them. They just repeat everything they hear." So maybe nobody will tell me that this morning. But I want to share with you from God's Word this morning, from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And God's Word says to us, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's kingdom, creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I've acquired wealth and I do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May God add His richest blessings to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of His most excellent, His most holy word to you and me this day. It's the words of Jesus. He's talking to the church at Laodicea, but He's also talking today to me and you, the church of today. We're living today, you and I, we're living in that period of church history that's characterized as lukewarm. All we got to do is look around us. Attend any church. We are neither hot nor are we cold. And our indifference today is abhorrent to God. So many people today are content just to come to church and make a token offering of their time, their money, their talents. A token of sacrifice and service to our holy God. You see, our lives are characterized today by externalism. We like the stuff of the world with little or no capacity for those spiritual things around us. One theologian said, and I quote, "In the history of the human race, no one has been harder to reach for Christ than the religionist." That's the person who's quite satisfied with a measure of their devotion to God and with the items which to them represent religion. The result is churchianity. Churchianity, membership in an organization without biblical Christianity and without membership in the body of Christ, accompanied by the miracle of a new birth in their lives. According to the Scriptures, there are three spiritual temperatures. Jesus tells us that. Three temperatures: a burning heart that's on fire for God, cold heart, and a lukewarm heart. Christians today they'll get excited about everything from acupuncture to zucchini and anything in between those two. We as Christians, we can get excited about a lot of things. We'll yell with the loudest, and we'll travel the farthest to root for our favorite ball players, our favorite sports team, our favorite race car driver, favorite rock band. But when it concerns a Bible study, or maybe a midweek prayer meeting, you can't find them anywhere. They're not seen, you can't find them. These lukewarm people are comfortable and they are complacent, and they can't be bothered over trifling things like Christian growth or discipleship or missions or stewardship. They don't have time for that. But Jesus warns us about being lukewarm. We just heard Him. Ask yourself, how will Jesus see your walk with Him? When you stand before Christ on Judgment Day and have to give an account, how is Jesus going to see your life? Will He spew you out of His mouth? That's what He says He will do. What is a lukewarm Christian? What is being lukewarm? Well, first of all, that seems to me to be an oxymoron, because you cannot be a Christian if you're totally lukewarm. Because when you're lukewarm, Jesus says you're neither hot, you're neither for me or you're not against me. You're just kind of in the middle and don't you care one way or the other. Jesus has never been interested. Read the Gospel. Jesus has never been interested in people who fake it. In fact, Jesus spoke in parables, and it tells us in the Scriptures, He spoke in parables so that the people who weren't genuinely listening, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand. In the parable of the sower, we all know that parable. Jesus explained that the seed that this farmer is sowing is the truth, that's the Word of God. That's His intention when He talks about the sower. And when the seed is thrown onto that path, it's heard, the word is heard, but it's quickly stolen away. And when it's tossed among the rocks, no root takes hold, so there's an appearance of a depth and growth because of that good soil, but it's only a surface level. It's not really down in the ground. And then when the seed is spread among the thorns that Jesus talked about, it's received, but it soon is suffocated by our lives, worries, our riches, our pleasures. We kind of put God's word back. But when the seed is sown in good soil, it grows. It takes root. It produces fruit. But when the seed is sown, you know, there's a warning for us there. There's a warning for us in this sowing of the seed. And that warning is, don't assume that you're the good soul. We like to think we're the good soul, but maybe we're not. It's my fear that most American churchgoers, and I've been in a lot of churches, and I've dealt with a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of other ministers, and it's my fear that most American churchgoers are the soil that chokes the seed because of all the thorns. We let too many other things take our focus away from God and God's Word. Thorns are anything that distracts us from God. Has your relationship with God really, truly changed the way you live? Do you live different than you did before you say you accepted Christ? Or are you living the same way? That's a test for us. You know, what does a lukewarm person look like? Can any of you look around and tell a lukewarm person? What do they look like? Are you lukewarm? We need, each one of us, and I'm including myself, we need to take a long, searching, honest look at our lives. Because you see, lukewarm people attend church on a fairly regular basis. It's what is expected of them. It's what they believe good Christians do. And so they go. Lukewarm people give money to the church. And they give to charities. But just as long as it doesn't interfere with their standard of living. Lukewarm people often choose what's popular over what is right when they're in a conflict. They want to fit in both at church and out there in the world. They care more about what people think about them than what God thinks about their hearts and their lives. Lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sin. Be honest. We don't want to be saved from our sins. We only want to be saved from the penalty of our sin. They aren't really sorry for their sin. They're only sorry because God is going to punish them. They don't believe the new life that Jesus offers us is better than that old sinful one. Let me tell you, sin is fun. Sin is beautiful. If it wasn't, we wouldn't want to do it to start with. That's why we're tempted, because it looks good and it feels good. So why shouldn't we do it? Lukewarm people seldom share their faith with other people, with their neighbors, their co-workers, their friends. You see, they don't want to be rejected. They want to be made fun of. They don't want to be called a Jesus fanatic. So lukewarm people gauge their morality or their goodness by comparing themselves to the secular world. And what do I mean by that? I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm better than so-and-so. They say they love Jesus. And He is a part of their lives. But only a part. He's not their whole life. They give Him just a little bit of their time. They'll give Jesus a little bit of their money. They'll give Jesus a little bit of their thoughts. But Jesus is not allowed to control their life. Lukewarm people love God, but not with all of their heart, not with all their soul, not with all of their strength. They love other people, but not as much as they love themselves. Their love for others is typically focused on those people who love them with little left over to give others. Especially those people who use them, who abuse them. Those whose kids are better athletes than theirs are intentionally people who slight them. Their love is highly conditional, and it comes with strings attached. I will love that person if they do whatever. Lukewarm people think more about life here on earth than they do about eternity in heaven. Live for today. Live for what I can get here. Tomorrow's another day. They're more concerned with playing it safe than allowing God to have control. Their focus on safe living keeps them from sacrificing and risking anything for God. Lukewarm people did not live by their faith. Their lives are structured so they don't have to. They don't have to trust God if something unexpected happens. Why trust God? I got money in the bank. I'm taken care of. You know, the truth is, and it's a shame, but the truth is, their lives would not look any different if they suddenly stopped believing in God. Jesus never said that if you wanted to follow Him, you could do it with a lukewarm manner. Jesus did say, take up your cross daily and follow Me. You know, Jesus asked us for everything we have. He wants it all. God's a jealous God. He wants all of us. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, listen to me. If Jesus is not Lord of all, Jesus is not Lord at all. Amen. Listen to something else Jesus said, coming from Luke chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? it is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. How would you like to stand before Jesus on Judgment Day and hear Jesus say to you, "You had ruined manure. You had ruined manure. You're not good for anything. You're not salty enough to be my follower." You see, when salt is salty, it helps manure become a good fertilizer. It helps things to grow. So lukewarm or uncommitted faith is completely useless for Jesus. It can't even benefit manure. What Jesus said. Jesus says, "I know your works and what you are doing. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were hot or cold." Jesus is saying that we're standing still in our walk with God. We're not doing anything. We are stagnant. We are no longer on fire for Him. We've lost our focus. We've lost our focus on the true meaning of what it is to be in a relationship with God our Father and Jesus the Son. We only care about how we look on the outside. We are whitewashed tombstones. We only care about how we look on the outside. But Jesus continues, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth." Jesus is not mincing words. He's not pulling any punches. Jesus is telling us like it is. He's telling us that we make Him sick when we're lukewarm. We're making Him sick to His stomach, and He will vomit us out. I don't know about you, but I know one thing. I can't bear the thought of leaving a putrid taste in the mouth of my Lord and my Savior after what He did for me. If Jesus didn't love us so much, He would not bother to tell us these things, which are for our own good. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Think about it. Don't just blow me off. Don't blow God off. Think about it. Take a long, honest look at yourself. But you know, the fact is, to some extent, every one of us in this place is lukewarm at one time or another. We all have some characteristics of being lukewarm. Are you in God's Word daily? Do you read your Bible every day to know what God's Word says? Searching for God? My wife and I, we have a devotion every morning before we go to work. We have a devotion every night, and we read the Bible together every night. We just started the New Testament. We've been reading it every day together through the Bible, sharing us. And I can tell you, by doing that, we've been drawn closer together. Are you seeking God? Are you submitting your life to Him totally? Are you denying yourself in God's service? Are you serving in His name, suffering in His name? Sacrificing for Jesus? Are we totally sold out for God? Or are we just lukewarm? Are we on fire for God? Are we ruining the manure pile? Take a long, hard look at your life and your priorities? Where do you stand? Are you on fire? Are you on the ice? Are you in the middle, where you will soon be spewed out of His mouth? You know, the choice is ours. I can't make that choice for you. You have to make it for yourself. I can't live your life. You can't live mine. But in closing, I want to share with you something that I read by an unknown author. And I hope it's not true for any of us, but it says, I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills will soon be due. And so I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. Now my soul can rest at ease. All day long I had no time to spread a word of cheer. I had no time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I fear. No time. No time. Too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need. But at last the time to die. I went before the Lord. I came. I stood with downcast eyes. For in His hands God held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into His book and said, Your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Glory be to God. Father, we thank You for this time that we could share together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank You for Your word to us from Jesus, who tells us what it's like to be lukewarm, that we are neither hot nor we are neither cold for Him. We're just kind of in the middle, unconcerned, not caring. We got time. I can give my life to Christ later on. I can serve Jesus when I get old. We may not have tomorrow. We may have less than 30 seconds. So, Father, help us to make the decision to follow Christ and have a heart that is on fire for Him. Father, again, we ask Your forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that You be with us this day. Put those in our paths who need to hear Your word. And make us, Lord, bold that we would share Your love and Your mercy with others. We ask all of this in Your name. Amen.